Okay, let's get into this year's Parshas Ekev, Tav Shin Pei Vav. And we continue with the jam-packed psukim. As we know, so many psukim in Sefer Dvarim have to do with just giving us chizik and keep the mitzvahs, and Hashem loves you, and don't think that it's you, it's Hashem helping you. Hashem has helped you in the past, Hashem will help you in the future, and do the mitzvahs. So there's so many psukim like that in these parshios. Let's start with the beginning. V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. So, Ekev, because if you do the mitzvahs, even the mitzvahs that are akev, that you step on, and then Hashem will keep the, right, Rashi, Yishmar Lacha, Hashem will keep his promise. Yishmar Lacha, Shamar Hashem Lacha Lacha Zabris, the Esach Hesed. You keep the mitzvahs, Hashem will keep his part of the bargain, says the Torah. If we look in the Arachayim HaKadosh, Arachayim HaKadosh in source number one, Lacha es habris, kasha, shemidvarev kan mashma, it sounds like from these psukim, that sha'achar sheyishma'u v'yishmeru, if we listen and if we keep and if we do, v'ya'asu kala mishpatim bazeh yizku lishmar me'mavtach aso. Right, it sounds like from here that if we keep the mitzvahs, if we follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, so then he's going to keep his promise and give us what we want. But the problem is, look a little bit later on. Look, what did it say in Tess? Hey, later in our Parsha, right after Shlishi, Al Tomar Bilvavcha, don't say in your heart, I'm reading from the Pasuk now, Bahadof Hashem Alakecha Osam Ilfanecha, when Hashem drives out your enemies, Lamar, Bitsidkasi Aviani Hashem, because of my righteousness, Hashem has brought me Lareshes Hasaaretz Azos. Because of my righteousness, Hashem has brought me to this land. Uberishas Hagoyim Ha'ela, Hashem Orisha Miponecha. And because of the wickedness of the Am, Hashem is being Morish. Lo Bitsidkascho Biosha Lavavcha, Tabalareshes Aaretz Azos. It's not because of your Tzidkus, it's not because of the straightness of your heart, it's because they are wicked, not because you deserve it. And to be making the shvua and to keep the shvua. So which is it? Is it, does Hashem have a choice or not? The beginning of the parsha sounds like if you keep the mitzvahs and you keep the Torah and you follow what Hashem wants, then wonderful, it's all going to be good. Hashem's going to keep you the haftacha. But then we have the second description here. It's not because of your righteousness, but it's because of the rishus hagoyim eila, and that Hashem has to keep his promise to the avos. What do you want? He has no choice. Zeyagid, back to the Arachayim HaKadosh, shagam she'en lohem tzidkus, right, which sounds like even if without righteousness, behechrich she'ikayim Hashem ha'shvua. Hashem will have to keep the shvua. The zelacha ha'os. Right, and the psukim continue, and this is a sign. Kilo b'tzikaso bava yirash mashi yirash. So how do we put these two together? So the Arachayim HaKadosh has two ideas about this. Maybe more, but we're going to do the first two. V'ulai, number one, it says on line number six. Ki knisasam la'aretz haisa bishvil shvuas ha'avos. The going into the land, Hashem has no choice. Hashem swore to Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that their descendants are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So then that's no choice. That's what the Perek Test is talking about. Right? Not because of your righteousness, but because the riches of this goyim, and that Hashem has to keep his shvua. Right? L'man hakim es hadavar shenishba Hashem la'avosecha. V'tnayu hadavar, im yishmru v'yasu, yishmar Hashem ha'matan alo l'avoyed. Are we going to stay there? Meaning, are we going to go in? We're going to go in. Right? We're going to go in, and that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, promised to the Avos, and we're gonna go in. Are we gonna be able to stay, are we gonna be zocha to remain there? That's only if we deserve it. Number one. V'hu amrokan, v'shamar Hashem, v'im lo yishmeru tiyakiyam ha'shvua b'zman ha'muat, she'nichnusu la'aretz v'yishalchim l'Hashem, and then we'll have to leave. Number one. Number two, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, let's read the psukim very closely. And not only the psukim here, but the psukim back in Bereishis. Od yisba'er al zeh pasuk lefi shehavtachas Avraham matzinu she'amar lo shtei havtachas. Look closely back in the bris bein habesarim. If you look back in Lech Lecha in Perek Tezvav, says the Arachayim, there are two promises there. Number one, Aleph lahotziyam mitzrayim v'yivyeim el eretz kenan v'chsiv. You look there in Pasuk Yud Dalid, Right? Pasuk Yudal says, "V'gam alagoy sheir bo d'don anochi." I'm going to judge the Egyptians. V'achrei chayin yitzu berchosh gadol, and they're going to go out with the tremendous assets. V'ata tavah avosecha b'shalom, and you, Avraham, will die. Tikaver b'seva tovah, seva tovah, whatever that means. The dar revi yashuvu heina, and then they're going to go into galus, but the fourth generation is going to return. The fourth generation is going to return. Yitzchak, Yaakov, right? And then who's, Levi, and then, fourth generation, Kahas, and without getting into which exactly is the fourth, right? Rashi discusses it. La'achar shi'iglu le'mitzrayim yusham gimel doros ve'revi. Right? Rashi says it means there were three generations in Mitzrayim, and the fourth one will come back, and then he says, Kalev ben Chetzron mi'bay ha'aretz. Okay, who it is. But you have there in the pasuk that the promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes of Acher Chen Yesu Baruch God of the Ravi, number one, they're going to go back. But then, two psukim later, if we have in pasuk Yudches, I'm there in the Bris Ben Abbasarim, Bayomahu Karas Hashem Es Avraham, Bris Lemar. There's a Bris, there's a covenant. There's a covenant. There's a Shvuah, and a bris, says the Arachayim. The Shvua, you're gonna go back. The bris, Lazaracha, Asati, it's Aratz Azos, Minahar, Mitzrayim, Ananhar, Gadol Nahar Pras, Ezakini, Ezaknizi, Ezakamoni. All of that wasn't done. Beis, Laseislo, Minahar, Mitzrayim, Ananhar Pras, Vasar Umos, Vehein Ata, Hagam, Shalohayut Sadikim, Ki Mitztarech, Ka'omro, Lobitzit Kascha, Avapikin, Kiem Hashem, Libineim, Aftacha Rishona. The bris, is only if we deserve it. The shvua, the more minimal, is no matter what. Shotziyam Mitzrayim, veviyem al aras vihin chilam shir hamaspik. That he brought us in and gave us a place to live, that's the shvua. But the bris is later on. Halo timsa sha'afilu shirat tzorach lam lo nachlu. Right? Even the minimum that they needed. Remember the story, in Yoshua, some of the Shvatim complained. Shebnei Yosef owned him mutzvachim. So is pika nis nachlasam. Right? It's not enough. We want a bigger nachla. Haresh adayin lo higili adam haftachas mi nahar mitzrayim ad nahar pras vasar umos. That was never fulfilled. Cause that, we're still waiting to be zoche. Laze amar Moshe, that's going on here. Vahaya ekev tishmon. Now back to ekev. Right. What does it say in Perek Tes? What does it say in Perek Tes that it's, that we just read before? Lobitzit Koschav Yosha Lavav Chasharba, right? Luan Hakim Esadavar Sher Nishba Hashem Lavosecha. That's the Shua. That's the Shua. Shua is going to come willy nilly. Shua is going to come no matter what. But what's at the beginning of our parsha? Vayeikev Tishmun? Asher Nishba Lavosecha? What is it? Vashar Vashar Lavacha? Esa Bris. Vesa Chesed. The Bris. The Bris is Tali on deserving, right? Deserving. Laze Amar Moshe Ekev Tishmon B'Shemar Hashem Esabris Pirish Laseis Minar Mitzrayim Asar Umos Bishleimus. Beautiful, says the Arachai Makadosh. There's something called the Bris, and that's beyond Shvua. Shvua is he swears no matter what, but a Bris is that the covenant that he makes, and a Bris has to do with deserving and actions. Moving right along, as we have something that we discussed, I think about a decade ago, so it's worthwhile reviewing, and that is benching. The bracha of benching. We know in the parsha we have the only mitzvah d'araisa that is clear according to all. Maybe there's one other. Only bracha d'araisa. The pasuk says, v'yachalta v'savata uveirachta. You shall eat, you shall be satiated, and then you shall bless. V'yachta shem alakecha. Right, to contrast that with the psukim later on, it clearly has to be read in that context. But later on, the pasuk says, after you pentochal v'savata, uvadim tovim tivneh v'yashavta, and then v'ram l'vavecha v'shachachta t'Hashem alokecha. There's no v'erachta. There's the v'achalta v'savata, and then v'ram l'vavecha. So that's the contrast of v'achalta v'savata uverachta. So we know that the first three brachas of benching are midah oraisa. The fourth bracha of benching is a midrabanan. We know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachas, the authors of the first couple of brachas of benching, even though they are daraisa, but we know that they had authors, right? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the first bracha of benching. Second bracha of benching written by Yoshua ben Nun, when he brought Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, no delecha, Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava, Eretz Chemda. We know that the Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't have written that, only once they crossed, and that's what we mentioned in the past, the beautiful thought of the Beis Yaakov, of the second Rebbe Ishbitz, the second bracha of benching switches to the talking straight to Hashem, But the first bracha is Hazan. Who knows in lechem lechol basar v'tuvo agadol. The second bracha, no delecha, falshen chalta, abrischa. Right, it's directly because once we're in Eretz Yisrael, there's a deeper, a closer sense of hashgacha. And even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to reach that level that in Eretz Yisrael one experiences, obviously levels of nevuah or beyond. So that's Yehoshua ben Nun. And then, of course, David HaMelech and Shlomo, they wrote the third bracha of benching, right? And it must have been edited as time went on, right? David HaMelech wrote about Yerushalayim, and Shlomo HaMelech wrote about the Beis HaMikdash. Those are all Midaraisa. But we know the fourth bracha of benching is Midarabanan. Midarabanan. And that was made as, that was written, as we know, the Gemara tells us, but when the Haruge Beitar were Zoche Lekvura, which happened as one of the six reasons we celebrate on Tu Ba'av, which always comes out at this time of year as well. But the Gemara Yerushalmi even has a more graphic portrayal of the Haruge Beta. Not just they were killed, but the Romans built the major cities, and they used the corpses of the Jews as fences around those cities. And for a long time, right, they aren't buried, and the Hatova Metiv was written at that time when there was Zochah to be buried, that they weren't Masriach, they didn't putrefy, and there was Zochah to be buried. So the question the Meshech Chachma deals with in source number two, other Achronim also deal with it, the Tzlach, what was so special about this Nes that mandated and that motivated Chazal to make a bracha, just for this miracle? V'yesh l'havin, says the Meshech Chachma in our Parsha, in Ekev. I heard recently, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein said in the name of his brother-in-law, I think the author of the Meshech Chachma, Rabbi Cooperman, right, the author of the newer edition of the Meshech Chachma, that the Meshech Chachma was his magnum opus, right, Meir Simcha's magnum opus, more than the Or Sameach, more than the Chedusha Meir Simcha, and the magnum opus of the magnum opus was Sefer Dvarim. Because Sefer Dvarim, he has major theses, even more than the other Svarim. The Svarim has packed every parsha. See, here he has one of the Yesodas as well. Says the Meshech Chachma. V'yesh lahavin, Masha amru hatova hameita v'yavne teknu ala ruge beitar. Right, it was made then. V'tzorach hezber, dal inyan prati tiknu chachamim bracha kavua. On a specific event, Chazal made this bracha, this general bracha to recognize, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Jewish, history. Va'od, and he says that, and he says also connected to wine, it's called the bracha v'tov ha'meitiv. What does it do with wine? We're not going to focus on that. Line 7. V'ha'bi'ur. V'kol birchas ha'mazon niskena binyan ha'uma. Birchas ha'mazon was enacted, meaning the words, on the creation of the nation. Asher nivnei tzivchar tzivchar be'etzba hashgacha, that was built little by little through the finger of the hashgacha. V'zeh hashgacha pratis b'mon b'midbar. Hashem created us and helped us continue to exist. B'dashkacha brought us with the man, with the desert. V'nizdachachu nafshosam kol arba'im shana. And we were purified all 40 years. This was the beginning of our existence. V'lamdu muskalos elokim. And we connected with Hashem. U'kema maramonin nator eloch le'aman v'ayelahem aretz. V'yushalayim merkaz ha'aretz. U'beis ha'migdash ha'shachan shmo alav. V'hisnaig ben nisim b'rtzufim tamid. There were nisim there. The goal of everything was the beis ha'migdash and Yerushalayim. Amnam. That's what Klal Yisrael, that's what where the goal and where we made it to. But, as we know, Churban happened. Amnam hatova ha'meitev tikno al-kiyim ha'uma. Habodedes b'moadeha lios holeches begolazu alpaim shana. You know what this bracha is about? It's reflective of the Jew in Gaulis, the Jew in persecution for 2,000 years. We've lasted. V'hi kayemes berucha ubahoda v'tefarta, and we're still Am Yisrael Chai. V'kol klei yotzer alea lo yetzlach. V'hine. How does this bracha reflect this? Achar ha'churban chashvu, after the churban, they thought, ki kiyuma bilti afshari, the Jewish people will not exist, will not succeed, will not survive. Remember, at this time, that's when the Christianity was also starting, and Jews were being taken to the other side. The asida l'chalos v'lindo, we started to be destroyed and lose, v'lindod, and to wander. Katzoanim below Tiferes Adam Kashero Kibebeta Lo Noshawa De Malchus Ben Kochva, because we saw what happened with Bar Kochva he was the leader, and they thought, you know, just like the first Galus was going to be 70 years, this was going to be something similar. Shegedole olam hayumutambo. The great ones of the generation made the mistake, right? He's referring to, of course, Rabbi Akiva, who thought Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. Maybe it was part of Rabbi Akiva. He was always positive. He was always optimistic. He said, this has to be. This has to be. So even he made a mistake. Amnam kasher ra'u. Once they saw ki amad melech chesed acher. V'nigzer aleim kfura kid amar b'yushalmi tainis, as we just described. Once they saw that eventually, right, they were decimated and tragedy, and they thought, forget it. The Jews are done. And this gave them chizuk. This gave them chizuk in the galus. Hey, they knew, they realized, Hashem is with us even after the Churban. It's not that he changed nations. It's not that he took a different chosen nation. This miracle, one might say, besides the fact that it was the last open miracle, the last open miracle. Again, we look at all of history as an open miracle. And we've been through miracles, but the last national miracle change of nature, right? The Hanukkah story was hundreds of years beforehand, right? Purim was between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Hanukkah was during Bayis Sheni. This was after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And all the Gufim, all the bodies didn't putrefy, and they was ochet to burial. Hevinu, the rabbis at that time realized, Ki Yisrael se'echad bein shivim se'evim, realized that we are one sheep among 70 wolves. U'becheset Hashem, a'idei malchei chesed yachlif koach Yosef das. Hashem's in charge. And he puts different rulers in different positions. V'kasher yamon gale yam l'shotvam, when the waves come to destroy us, yavo haruach v'yashkitem, ayidei moshli v'yotzei aretz. Somebody will come. There will be a way where the Jews will be able to survive. Asher levavim b'yad Hashem emalei achesed. V'lachein tiknu hatov ha'meitiv al kiyum ha'uma. This bracha is not specifically about that event, the event of the Harugei Beitar, but it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being tov and meitiv, and keeping us going, and being with us through thick and thin. Umikiyama umahapla'i lamadnu. And through the miraculous existence of the nation. Lamanu ki ne'emnu divrei hanavi'enu v'divrei avoseinu. And the words of our prophets and our fathers are true. Asher inchilu lanu morasha be'emunas uman kol hanaga elokis v'binyan yushlaim v'aretz. Our miraculous existence. V'lachena malchias Shalhani brachos tiknu lahaskir batov v'hametiv. L'chein al hayayin tiknu batov v'hametiv. And why, without getting back into that, but that's the Meshech Chachma at the end. Bekolzos he miskaimim begola ein zerak tzidkus pizrono b'Yisrael. So this bracha that we say, the fourth bracha of benching, is that message. It's the bracha of Klai Yisrael surviving. Hu hetiv, hu metiv, hu yetiv. The interesting halacha, just one detail in halacha, we know that there's a halacha, I think actually we mentioned this in passing, we mentioned this last week in the Parsha Shia when we spoke about Kriya Shema, and we gave the mashal, Kriya Shema u'birchoseha, right? Even though brachos are drabanan, it becomes one unit. So I think we gave a mashal there like this, bracha, the fourth bracha benching. If one doesn't remember if they benched or not, they have to bench again, because something daraisa l'chumra, but with this bracha, even though this bracha is drabanan, but still with this bracha, because the book forms one unit with all of benching. Okay. Next pasuk, short little fascinating ha'ara. Again, Akev is not a short parsha. So you have later on in Perak Yud, pasuk tezayin, when Moshe Rabbeinu again is continuing the psych up speech, a psych up psukim. What does Hashem ask for you? Kim li yiras Hashem alakach alalechas b'chol derachav. What does he want from you? Right, just to fear him, to follow in his paths. And the pasuk says, "Rak ba'avosecha chashak Hashem ma'avosam." Hashem wanted your forefathers. Vayivchar bezaram acharehem. Umaltim es arlas lavavchem. You shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Or we know in Tanakh there's arla, what we call arla, the foreskin by bris milah, but there's also arlas aznayim. There's arlas halev, few arlas. So this says, "Umaltim es arlas lavavchem." To be mal, to circumcise the arla of your heart. I think we mentioned the smock. The smocks, one of the sefer mitzvahs, counts this as a sefer mitzvah saseh daraisa. To be makabel tochacha. Right? That's this mitzvah of umaltim is arlas aleh, to be makabel tochachas, which is a very challenging mitzvah. The Gemara says that who knows nowadays how to even give tochacha, to accept tochacha. to accept positive criticism and know that the person is there out for your good, that's even more, maybe even more challenging. But the Iturei Torah here quotes a chap, we might call it, on this pasuk umaltam as arosav afchem. Amar, he quotes from the Chiddush Yerim, first Gera Rebbe, lichora kasha, eich mutter lasos cheshbon nefesh b'Shabbos. How can we do a cheshbon nefesh on Shabbos? Right, we sit there, we think about all the things we did wrong, it's so painful. Hare bevade ein adam taino gadol mizeh. Shehu ma, ein, the person does not have taino gadol. Mashu mala libo es mach erko v'shafel matzavo. When we realize how lowly we are and how much more we have to do, and the shvelus of my matzav, the karas la Shabbos oneg, if they have oneg Shabbos. Not supposed to do anything on Shabbos that brings you down, that makes you sad. Right, the whole discussion in the postman about crying. Are you allowed to cry on Shabbos? So some say, oh, if it's crying like Rabbi Akiva read Shir HaShirim and he cried because he was so connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, that type of crying is okay. Right? But other than that, others say that even regular crying, if somebody's in pain because it's cathartic, right? And it helps us get through. Okay, either way, there's something only constructive that's allowed. So here, Cheshbon HaNefesh, we have to do Cheshbon HaNefesh. How can you do Cheshbon? So you do Cheshbon HaNefesh other days. How can you do Cheshbon HaNefesh on Shabbos? You shouldn't be able to do it. Umagam lasuk betikur nafsho asher inena malacha kala el avoda kasha umafrachas umeshaberes is aguf, and also to work on my midos, it's very difficult avoda. So why should we have to do this? And the tzaddikim say every night maybe we should do a cheshbon nefesh. Ve'echmut, go through the day, review what I did, what was I happy with, what was I not happy with. Ve'echmut elasos os b'shabbos, how could we do a cheshbon nefesh on Shabbos? So says the Chiddush Yerim. Hakasuv nakar al inyan atshuva v'tikna nefesh. Lashon umaltim. What does our pasuk say? Circumcise. Circumcise your heart. That's what tshuva is. That's where cheshbon nefesh is learned out from. Circumcising your heart. Milas docha Shabbos. Ah. Umaltim azar lavavte milas docha Shabbos. It was milas docha Shabbos. So not just physical milas. You're allowed to violate that malacha for Shabbos. But one might say even the cheshbon hanefesh type of mila, that is also docha. We continue. Says the pasuk in Shema. Right, we know we have the second pasuk in Shema, Yud Aleph. Now we move on. Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Beis. So right before Vahayim Shemoah, we have the psukim about Eretz Yisrael, which again, every other pasuk here in Sefer Dvarim talks about the centrality of the land of Israel. Right, every other pasuk mamish. Ki aretz by Shishi. Ki aretz asheratav Hashem alirishta. Lo keretz Mitzrayimi. The land that you're going to conquer and inherit is not like the land of Egypt. Asher yitzasa mishon, that you went out from there. Asher tizra es zar acha vishkisa barak lecha kegan hayarak. Right, that you plant and you water. It's not going to be like what's called a stay. Stay habal, two types of stay habal, two types of fields that we have in halacha. We have stay habal and what's called beis hashlachin, irrigated and baal that comes from the rain from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the baalim of the world. So it's not like following land. It's not going to be like Eretz Mitzrayim with a yaor. Mountains and valleys. Limtar hashamayim tishtamayim. Right, for the rain. You're going to have to daven for rain. Eretz asher Hashem alokecha doresho. So it's a land that Hashem always seeks out. Tamid eini Hashem alokecha ba. The eyes of Hashem are always on the land of Israel. Mereshis Hashana ad acharis shana. Ad acharis shana. The eyes are always, says Rashi, asher Hashem alokecha doresho sa. Follow Kolaratzos Udarish. What do you mean? Hashem Doration seeks out this land. Doesn't he seek out all lands? Shenemar lehamtir al haaretz lo ish. Ella, says Rashi, kaviyachol eno Doresh ela osa. Yes, Hashem has some type of hashgacha on all lands, but kaviyachol eno Doresh ela osa. The real direct hashgacha is on Eretz Yisrael. V'al yidei osa drisha shedarsha. And through that, once he's checking out Eretz Yisrael, you know, Hashem's busy, so he comes to the globe and focuses on Eretz Yisrael. And once he's here, he's like, okay, you know, I'll look at the rest also. Dorish is kol ha'aratzos ima. Once he's darshaning what Eretz Yisrael needs, so he would also put in a good word and focus on the other lands also. Says the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh on this Rashi, Kaviyachol, says the Gur Aryeh. And then we'll see this in, he's explaining a Rashi, but then we're going to go back to the Rishonim also. V'inyan zeh muvan, says the Gur Aryeh. Source number four. Shaharetz bilvad hayaroi shatia nivres. Because really, Eretz Yisrael is the one that should be created. That's the one that is special and worthy of being created. Rak b'pishi yefshar lios haaretz bilvad. But you can't have a world just with Eretz Yisrael. Shein roi l'kaba kedusha hakol. It shouldn't get all the kedusha. L'ficha nivru shaharetz ozima. The other lands are created with it to be able to fill out and be a backdrop for Eretz Yisrael. The Bria of other lands weren't an independent tafkid and tachlis of existence, but they were created with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was created, and the other lands were adjacent. They're like suburbs. That's why when Hashem seeks out and focuses on Ashgacha, on Eretz Yisrael itself, he throws in the other lands too. Like all other parts of the body and other limbs are connected to the heart, but the heart is what pumps. Eretz Yisrael is the pumper. Eretz Yisrael is the pumper and the heart of the world. But the real fresh dam comes from the heart. And then the other limbs are nourished by the blood that comes out, not as pure. Right, it all shoots out and is on a secondary level. So that's the Gur Aryeh explaining the Rashi, right? Eretz Yisrael is Hashem's ultimate focus on Hashgacha, and then the other lands, right? Well, one might say that right, was supposed to be an Or Lagoyim. If it's just an Or, Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a model country with the model people and shining to the whole world. Ki Mitzion Teisei Torah. So we need the rest in order to shine. We need to shine if just have this area, that it's not going to have its effect, right? If you look in the footnote there, Rabbi Hartman quotes other areas, as he always does, cross-references the Maharal, the Tiferes Yisrael, Ki kol chutz la'aretz meyuchas l'chomri, the Eretz Yisrael meyuchas ala sichli, right? There's a hierarchy of creations, right? And he says that the same thing with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, not everybody, the whole world, is supposed to be Avram Avinu's descendants. Right, it's supposed to be Avram's descendants, and they shall be a model and a light for the rest of the world. That's in the Rashi and explained by the Gur Aryeh. If you look at Rabbeinu Bachai, he says a similar idea. Rabbeinu Bachai, Eret Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid, the land that Hashem seeks out always, Al Derech Hapshat. Iker Ashkacha So Ba'aretz Ahi. The Iker Ashkacha, like Rashi said, the Iker Ashkacha is an Eretz Yisrael. And I might add, who doesn't want to be under direct Hashgacha and close with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is he comes to visit here. He comes to check here out, and then he'll throw the other lands also. Who doesn't want to be first on the line? Kibavadai kol haratzosu doresh. Aval ha'inyan ki ikar hadrisha v'Hashgacha sham. The ikar focus. Umisham mispashetes l'sharatzos. And from there, indirectly to others, ke'inyan ha'leiv ba'adam shu natsun be'emsa aguf, just like the Maral said, like the heart of a person, which is in the middle of the body, shu ikir achiyas, umisham achiyas mispashit l'sari varman, from there, the heart pumps to the rest of the body, u'ba'akasa l'olamdenu, she'ein Eretz Yisrael, and he writes this from the Ramban also, she'ein Eretz Yisrael nesunat achas memshalat ha'kochavim ha'mzalos, Kishar Ratzos, like the Ramban writes at length in Parshas Achremos, the other land, Eretz Yisrael is not like the other lands which have indirect hashkacha, that are put under stars and other types of powers. Ve'inanim seres ledrishas Elohei ma'ala kishar ha'aklimon. All the other climates come under other powers. Abba HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo bechvodo darish osa samedesh. Hashem comes himself. Lomana laha mishar kochos shoto moshel, vizeo shenama David HaMelech, is what David HaMelech said about Eretz Yisrael, kol mayanai bach. All my desire, Hashem says, is in you, Eretz Yisrael. Bi uro, ikir ashkachasi v'iyuni einu ele bacha, ki misham yispashit l'shar ha'olam. And the rest of the lands get from Eretz Yisrael, but that's the one that comes directly. That's the one that's go directly. Good. Okay, moving right along to tefillah. again, what yesodos we have in these parshias. And we have next, Vahayim Shemoa, which is the source, has in it the source for tefillah, according to those we've shown him that hold that tefillah is a mitzvah daraisa every single day, like the Rambam. Vahayim Shemoa. If you listen to my mitzvot, hayom, that I command you today, to serve Hashem. And the Rambam says, first the Gemara, right? The Gemara in Tainus Daf Beis, and Rashi quotes it, avoda she believe, vizui tefila, shatfila kruya, avoda. That tefila is called avoda. And Avoda Shebelev, and the Rambam says, even though this is a pasuk, one of the Dvarim HaKolalim, right? The Rambam says, even though this pasuk sounds like it's a kolel, it's an inclusive, type of pasuk, a general type of pasuk, the Rambam says, there's a specific idea, and that is tefillah. So a couple of ideas of tefillah. First, a story about tefillah, and then a message about, tefillah. We'll start with the story from Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. There are so many books out with stories of Mordechai Eliyahu. The set that I have is Divrei Mordechai Ala Torah, which has different sections on each parsha, but one of them is Sipurim. So here he has a story that happened. Sipur Maran Harav Zatzal. Pamachas Nasadim B'nei Brak Yerushalayim. I was going from B'nei Brak to Yerushalayim. Tachanat Moniot Hasharot. Nimseis B'samach Le'iskevitz. V'chadad Anatal Desman. Likanis L'spalo Mincha L'fnei Anisiyah. I guess it's a minion factory in B'nei Brak. And he wanted to go daven mincha. Kishigati l'sham shamati, it's a nahag tzoik, acharon. Right? I saw this taxi driver, saying, you know, screaming. Last one. What does he want? Kishavti is ban hanesia. I thought about the travel time. I guess he was in a taxi that was a monit. That more common in the days of old, when a number of people got into a moni together. Say, I think I calculated the time. I said, okay, I'll go in and I'll daven mincha in Yerushalayim. Nechrasi lemonif yatsanu lekivun Yerushalayim, and we went out to Yerushalayim, and it was very slow. There was traffic. Haisa itib miharagil v'asham hashemesh natsa ma'arava bimhirut, and the sun was setting. And he wasn't going to do a b'dieved davening in the car. I asked the driver, how long? He said another 3/4 of an hour. I'm not going to get there. I told the nahag that pull over. I need to daven mincha. Keep the meter running. I'll pay. Kedei shuchal lespal mincha. Amar le'nahag kvod arav. The nahag says, kvod, b'simcha iti otzer, avol zeh lo tali rak bi, but, you know, I'm not, I would stop, but it's not only me. Im shar nosim maskimin, there's a lot of other passengers, right? It was a monit. We used to take monits, right? There was a couple of passengers, you have to ask them. Atzar, if everybody agrees. Ha nosim maskim, everybody said, yeah. Everybody said, look, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu wants to have a mincha. Ha nahag atzar b'sidi akvish. What happened? The nahag stopped on the side of the kvish. Yarat TV mi ot shisha no sim no safim. Another 6 came out. So there were seven of us. Lefeta, that's our own monit. All of a sudden, another taxi stops on the side of the road. We men a yardu own mispar no sim shmishulis palel. Others that wanted a daven. Kach should start for yachan minyan anashim lemincha. Right, a minyan. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu wants to have a mincha. He'll get a minyan on the side of the road. Afilu hanahag sam kipa al rosho. It's taref lis palel itan of amar kaddish. The nahag got out and davened with us, put on a kippah and said kaddish. Kshem shachnu b'disiya panitu l'shalem is t'meyantana. Right? When the trip continued, I wanted to pay for the extra, for the time wait. Amar li nahag, he says, I'm not taking money. Eni rotz lakachas mimcha kesef elakach mehem. I'm not taking money from you, I'm going to take from them. Ki lahem lo haya ichbas mitilas hamincha. Kshiganu l'Yerushalayim, who is Akesh Lakachas Osi Alabesi. And when we got to Yerushalayim, he didn't just let me off where everybody else got off. He took me to my house. Took me to my house. Kshirati, when I got out of the taxi, he turns to me very emotionally. V'amarli, Kvod Arav, Dalacha, Shayom Azeh Ha'askara Shal Ima Shali. It's my mother's yard site. It's my mother's askara, this taxi driver said. Ubiminyan shekiyamnu b'tzidi haderech zakisi lomar kaddish hakol b'zchutcha. He says, I said kaddish in your zchut. Ashrehem Yisrael shemechabdin et haTorah v'tamitzvos. Take davening seriously. and you make sure that you daven properly. Well, that's the way it is. I saw a picture recently of Rav Chaim Kanievsky saying Tfilas Haderech. It shows him standing on the side of the road, saying Tfilas Haderech, meaning he didn't say Tfilas Haderech in the car. But he got out, focused, and said Tfilas Haderech. I don't think he was driving either way, but he got out and said Tfilas Haderech. Okay. Another thought relating to tefillah. I saw this recently. They put out recently, over the last year or two or so, the Rav on tefillah, Rav Soloveitchik on tefillah, a beautiful sefer in English that again came out a number of years ago, and was put together by Jay Goldmintz. They have a lot on tefillah, but this one goes through Al Seder HaTefillah. Goes through Al Seder HaTefillah with Pirushim of Rav Soloveitchik. So in the beginning, he has a couple of introductory pages about tefillah in general, and he discusses there the idea of matir, that tefillah needs a theme that Rav Soloveitchik speaks about often in his writings, and that is the idea of a matir. You can't just do anything you want always. Sometimes things seem matir, just like Birchas Hanenin is a matir, right, to eat the food, but a much in Avodas Hashem needs a matir. So he discusses, puts together here, the idea of matir for tefillah in three senses. Each one requires more elaboration, but it's presented here so beautifully, and we will mention it, and we mention these ideas in other contexts as well. Number one, tefillah is a matir. Tefillah needs a matir. You could just approach God. You could approach God and talk. The finite could talk to the infinite. Given the initial unbridgeable gap, Rav Soloveitchik writes in Source 8, that exists between man and God, how can we even fathom the possibility of prayer? How could we talk? How could we entertain the possibility of talking to Hashem? After all, the Rav would say, could anyone imagine walking in on the President of the United States without a formal invitation? I'm just going to walk into the White House and walk straight in and I'll go into the Oval Office and start talking to him. You can't do that. What makes man think that he could even speak to the Creator, or that the Creator should care to listen? Where does man get the chutzpah to approach God? Right? That's the question. Right? How do we daven? The Rav approached this issue from a number of different perspectives over time. Right? There's different types of matirim. So number one, and he quotes this from Rav Lichtenstein in the name of his father-in-law, one is to be found in tefillah itself. In tefillah itself, the first idea is going to be, each section of tefillah is matir the following one. And Chazal and their infinite wisdom made it that way. If you do go in this formula, so then it's allowed. We've had a shir in the past about Kriyashma being a matir for tefillah. But Psuki de Zimra is a matir for Kriyashma. The tefillah itself, if you say the right words, one is to be found in the tefillah itself. The praise which comprises the first three brachas allow the subsequent request. But the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei are matir the middle. Furthermore, the juxtaposition of the last bracha before the Shemona Esrei, right, Ga'al Yisrael, and the tefillah, that's also a matir. The idea of smichas gula the tefillah. The same applies to the recitation of the Zimra in the earlier part. The very joining of the different levels of tefillah constitutes its permission, right, which takes away the idea of, you're skipping and davening and you're going to make it up later. Baruch Shem Rashi, Yishtabach, and going out of order. It loses. It definitely loses an element, because the whole idea of tefillah has to be built. In halachic terms, the Rav often referred to the necessity of a license or matir to pray. This provides a major framework for his analysis of the structure of the Siddur, where each section is a prerequisite for the one which follows. So number one, tefillah is matir itself, meaning each part of tefillah is matir the next part of tefillah. That's number one. Number two, the second idea of matir when it comes to tefillah, meaning what gives us the right. Right? Answer number one, Chazal instituted that each part is matir the next one. Answer number two, the fact that it's a mitzvah. If Hashem told us to do this, that itself is matir. The second type of permission is the obligation of prayer itself. Prayer is possible because we are commanded to pray. It is, after all, a mitzvah, as we have already mentioned. Bound up in the notion of obligation is the concept of permission. If Hashem tells us to do it, then obviously we have to do it and He wants us to do it. If there was no permission to pray, then there could be no obligation. Wow. Even more fundamentally, prayer is possible because of historical precedent. Right? We know our avos prayed. right? That's part of the idea of mitzvah, right? Tefillah keneged avos tiknum, right? That's Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Chana, David, Shlomo, all prayed. And by doing so, they gave the rest of us permission to do so as well. And then he quotes that a thought that is been mentioned very often, the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ramban. The Rav reported that he heard from his father, who heard from his grandfather, Reb Chaim, even though there's a Machlokas, Rambam, and the Ramban, with the Tfilas Daraisa and Tfilas Darabanan. It must be, Reb Chaim said, that the Rambam is correct. Despite Nachmanides' proofs, the Gemara says Tfilas Darabanan, how could one possibly imagine the Jewish people without prayer? Right? Actually, let's wait for a second. Wait for them before we do that one, but let's just clarify. Number two. So number two is the fact that it's a mitzvah. And Hashem wants us. That might be the idea behind the Birchas HaMitzvah. We've noted the Rambam in Hilchos Brachas connects the concept of Birchas HaNen into a Birchas HaMitzvah. Just like, he says, Kishen, just like there's a need, an obligation to make a bracha before we eat, so too that we have to make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. And Rav Soloveitchik noted, what's the connection between those two? Before you eat, so that's a matir. What about a Berachas HaMitzvah? That's a matir? And Rav Soloveitchik said yes. Because after all, the same idea here. Who are we to assume that we could do a mitzvah? That we could shake a lulav, that we could eat matzah, and in that way connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The fact that it's a mitzvah, and we acknowledge the mitzvah in the bracha, that's the matir. So the Berachas HaMitzvah is matir us. Just like Tefillah, the fact that it is a mitzvah, is matir us. Number two. And then there's the third idea. There's the third idea that Rav Soloveitchik quoted from his grandfather, discussing the machlokas, Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam is a mitzvah that writes to David every day, the Ramban not. But Rav Chaim said, how could one, line 37, how could one possibly imagine the Jewish people without prayer? Did the Jewish people have to wait for a decree by the rabbis in order to pray to the master of the universe? Subsequently, the Rav took the sentiment of successor Reb Chaim one step further. Prayer is a vital necessity for the religious individual. He cannot conceal his thoughts and his feelings, his vacillations and his struggles, his yearnings and wishes, his despair and bitterness in a word, in the depths of the soul. We can't not pray. Human beings need to pray. Vital, vibrant religiosity cannot sustain itself without prayer. In sum, prayer is justified. Amazing line, because it is impossible to exist without it. We can't exist without davening. This version of matir is different in that it claims that no matir is really necessary at all, because prayer is inevitable. It's inevitable. It's part of who we are. It's our essence. That prayer is even possible, however, he continues and says, remains a gift. It's still a gift. It's a matnas chinam. And he writes in the footnote there that this third idea, Rav Lichtenstein mentioned that Rav Soloveitchik came to as he went through life, especially in the later difficult times that he had in his life. Rav Lichtenstein has observed, you see in the footnote in source number 10, the Rav grew troubled over time by the focus on the matir, leaving him to de-emphasize it in his subsequent thought. He attributes this change to three factors. The Rav always rethought matters. Second, his thought moved over the years into a more humanizing direction, v'chulu. Third, a deep distress hath humanized my soul. His wife's illness led him to soften and ameliorate his position on the availability of prayer, meaning we have to pray. Right? It's reflected by the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Tes. Remember the Gemara of Yitzchak Avinu, bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, defending Klal Yisrael, saying, what do you mean, B'nai Yisrael, you're going to destroy them? And part of what he says is, you can't fault them for being involved in their basic human needs. What are their basic human needs? What does Yitzchak Avinu say? Eating, bathroom, davening. Davening is a basic human need. We can't not turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when we were created, right? Hashem created us as a ruach mamalala, a talking spirit, like Unkelus says in Parshas Bereishis, right? Nefesh chai is a ruach mamalala. When we were created with that talking spirit, who were we supposed to talk to? We had this amazing power. There was nobody else in the world. We were the only ones. So obviously, what is that? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, that's our essence. Our essence is to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's itself is the matir. Our essence that we need to do this. Right, there's no other way that we could do it. That itself is the matir. Unbelievable. So three thoughts of matir from Rav Soloveitchik on tefillah. Number one, each section of tefillah is matir the next section. Number two, the mitzvah, the fact that it's a mitzvah is matir. And number three, the fact of who we are and just the reality of being human is what's matir. Beautiful. One more thought in related to tefillin. Tefillin. This could have been mentioned last week. Mention it this week, where we have tefillin again at the end of Vahayav. There's a story of the Chafetz Chaim in source number 11 from Karas LaShabbos Oneg, the third volume, where he quotes one time, the Chafetz Chaim needed to get a new pair of tefillin. L'rechoch la'atzmo tefillin chadashos umhudaros. La'achar birurim, after he did a lot of checking, he found a sofer mumcha who he wanted to write his tefillin. So Chafetz Chaim speaks to him and tells him his chumras that he wants, and he writes the tefillin. B'terem echal ha-sofer b'ksiva, before the sofer started writing, sikim imo ha-chavetz chayim, the Chafetz Chaim says, ki b'chol meshach sma ha-ksivas ha-parshios, yehu atzmo ha-chavetz chayim nochach. The Chafetz Chaim wanted to sit there. The Chafetz Chaim wanted to be there when he wrote. That's pressure. That's pressure. Imagine number one level of pressure with the Chafetz Chaim asks you to write him a pair of tefillin. Okay, but number two, the Chafetz Chaim wants to be there as you write it. Whoa. Ksivas ha-parshios archa kushvayim yamim, 2 weeks. Took some 2 weeks to write the tefillin. Achin b'meshach kol hazman nochach ha-chavetz chayim b'makom. The Chavetz Chaim was there. V'lo hisiach daito mila hashkiach ala sofer. It wasn't misiach das. Shoya bilim ksubas kesidron. And he looked carefully at all the letters. Shol yikansu osios shebeshirazu. B'shetach osios shebeshirabaleim. The osios, the letters shouldn't be above and below. Achin zeros osios shiu kedin. It should be perfect. L'shem mitzvah tefillin. Says the Chavetz Chaim. Why? Why do we have to be so, they asked him, or he explained, Hadamar Nachutz, Yishlashkiya Chalkolos, Kol Nakuda Chashuvi. I'll give you an example. You ever write a long contract? Let's say you're doing a $1 billion deal. You're going to read every line of that document, every line of that Jose. You're not going to just say, okay, yeah, whatever it is, it's fine. It's $1 billion. Hadavar Domer Lesocher Shose Jose Ben Yani Asakav. He's doing a business deal. Tchilahu Nimlach Barchi Din Mumchen. He talks to expert lawyers. Medayka Menafe Mikol Mila. They go over and over again every word. Kedeli Hishamer Shlotipo Laftos Kala. Not even one little mistake. Nothing. Hatfilin, the Chafetz Chaim says, our tefillin. This is our Jose. This is our connection. Our contract. Afhein Meshamshos Kein Jose. Shemekasher Es Yisrael Avim Shabashamayim. Nomar Bahen Laos. Al Yadchem. This is my os. The tefillin is the os. And that's why you have to be very, very careful at every word. Chafetz Chaim says, I wanted to be there for the contract. I wanted to be there as they wrote up the contract for every letter, because I know how much this does and what impact this has in Shemayim. And therefore, I wasn't going to let it go, by myself. So that's the Chafetz Chaim about tefillin. Again, a lot of things that we had today about tefillah, about Eretz Yisrael, about tefillin. A lot to think about. Okay, we will stop here.